A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. He has no need, as did the high priests, to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men subject to weakness to be high priests, but the word of the oath, which was taken after the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. The main point of what has been said is this: we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle that the Lord, not man, set up. Now every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices, thus the necessity for this one also to have something to offer. If then he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are those who offer gifts according to the law. They worship in a copy and shadow of the heavenly sanctuary. As Moses was warned when he was about to erect the tabernacle, for God says, "See that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Now he has obtained so much more excellent a ministry, as he is mediator of a better covenant, enacted on better promises. Verbum Domini. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. Sacrifice or oblation you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, "Behold, I come." In the written scroll it is prescribed for me, to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. May all who seek you exult and be glad in you, and may those who love your salvation say ever, "The Lord be glorified."
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples,
A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known.
Verbum Domini.
We hear of a description of the priesthood in our reading today from the letter to the Hebrews. It states that every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Christ, our great high priest, has offered the sacrifice of himself on the cross for our redemption, and he lives forever, as we hear and we're reminded, to make intercession for us. He's able to save those who approach God through him. Again, he lives forever to make intercession for us. It's important to know that this does not mean that God the Father is perpetually angry at us and that God the Son is trying to change his mind, right, to intercede for us. No, God the Father loves us. That's why he created us. At the same time, God is perfectly just. He's merciful, but also just. There's a powerful line in the book of the prophet Ezekiel where God is speaking about the sins of Jerusalem. And he says to the prophet, "I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." And we know in the fullness of time, God the Father sent his Son. He sent his own Son to stand in the breach, right? To offer the gift of himself, to sacrifice himself on the cross for our salvation, for our redemption. This is a source of great confidence for us, right? He is forever making intercession for us. For our part, we simply repent and turn back to him. We know at the Last Supper, our Lord instituted the Holy Mass, which is a true visible sacrifice. It's in the Holy Mass that that one sacrifice of Christ on Calvary, which is of infinite value, is made present on the altar for the remission of sins and of the punishment due to them, for the benefit of the living and the deceased. I'd like now just to give a brief overview or refresher of the Roman canon of the Mass, during which that one sacrifice is made present on our altars, right? And it's offered to the Heavenly Father for our spiritual benefit. So it's simply divided into three parts. There's the prayers before the consecration itself, and the prayers after or following the consecration. And the canon begins, "To you, therefore, most merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition," right? It's the whole Mass is offered to God the Father to give glory to God, to offer it to him. And the priest in the canon is speaking to God on behalf of all. This is the prayer of Christ the High Priest to the Father. And the priest begs that God may accept the sacrifice and bless the gifts that are about to become the body and blood of Christ. Then he asks for the grace of peace, for protection, for unity and guidance for the Catholic Church. He prays for the Pope and the local bishop by name, and all those who believe, profess, and hand on our Catholic faith. Next is the commemoration of the living, which is also referred to or known as the memento of the living. So there's a brief pause to pray for each of the faithful. Each of us are called to bring to the Lord, during that first brief pause, the living, our loved ones, right, that we can call to mind them and bring them to the Lord. The prayer is for the salvation of their souls and for their health, their spiritual and physical health. The communicantes follows, which is a prayer of communion with the saints as we venerate their memory. So the sacrifice of the Mass is offered to God alone, but we, as we commemorate the saints, we unite our prayers with theirs. Their prayers are powerful, right? And they are the witnesses we're surrounded, as we hear in the letter to the Hebrews as well, right? We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We unite our prayers with theirs. And as we ask God to grant through the merits and intercession of the saints, again, that we might be defended by the help of his protection, because it's tough. We are on a very tough and difficult and challenging pilgrimage, and we need the help of God, his grace, and all this, also the saints who do pray for us. So in that first list of saints that we hear in the Roman canon, in addition to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the queen of all saints, and Saint Joseph, her spouse, we have two groups of 12 saints. So first we hear the 12 apostles, and then 12 martyrs. And so with the list of the 12 apostles, Judas is excluded, as we do not ask for his prayers. But Matthias, who replaced Judas, he's mentioned in the second list after the consecration. So who takes his place in the first? It's St. Paul, who also is known as an apostle. After the names of the 12 apostles, we have, again, those 12 martyrs. There's Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, and Cornelius, and these were all early popes of the church, and they were all martyred. In fact, Linus, Cletus, and Clement were the second, third, and fourth popes following St. Peter. Then we have Cyprian, who was a bishop of Carthage in North Africa, and Lawrence, the deacon of Rome, who was roasted to death on a gridiron. Next is Chrysogonus, who was a catechist. And then we have two sets of brothers, and they're all laymen. There's John and Paul, and so this is not a repetition of the apostles. These are separate, St. John and St. Paul, again, who were two brothers who served the Roman Empire's officers, but they're both martyred for the faith. Next is Cosmas and Damian, another set of brothers, and these two were physicians who offered their medical services for free out of charity, out of love for God, and they were also martyred. And shortly after we venerate the memory of these great saints and unite our prayers with theirs, we have the Epiclesis, which is a plea, it's a request to God to send the Holy Spirit, that as he makes the gifts on the altar, the bread and the wine, become the body and blood of Christ. And in the prayer of the canon, we also pray that we might be delivered from eternal damnation and be counted among God's own flock. And next is the actual consecration of the Mass. This is not a new sacrifice. It's the same sacrifice on Calvary made present in an unbloody manner. That's the only difference. It's the offering of the Son to the Father in the Holy Spirit. And the priest is simply the instrument, lending his voice to Christ as the words of consecration are spoken, and the bread and wine becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And following the consecration is the elevation of the consecrated host and of the precious blood in the chalice. And these are elevated to allow the faithful to see and to adore Christ in his Eucharistic presence. We then ask that this sacrifice be accepted as the Heavenly Father accepted the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Right? So we have that continual reminder of Abel and his sacrifice. Remember, he offered the best of his flock and he was innocent. So he's a figure of Christ. Reminded of the sacrifice of Abraham, who was willing to offer his son Isaac in obedience to what God had asked of him. And we're reminded of Melchizedek, who offered bread and wine in sacrifice, a clear foreshadowing of the Holy Eucharist. The priest also makes a profound bow at the altar, and he asks God to command his angel to carry the body and blood of Christ to the altar on high in heaven, that the faithful may be filled with every grace and heavenly blessing. And next is a prayer for the deceased, with another brief pause to bring to the Lord those who are dear to us, who have passed from this life. And we request that they may be filled with refreshment, with light, and peace. And then we have the second communicantes, or list of saints. And the second set starts with John the Baptist and includes Stephen, who's the proto-martyr, the first martyr. Then there is Matthias, the one who replaced Judas as an apostle. And then Barnabas, who is also considered an apostle, just not one of the 12. We also have Ignatius of Antioch, who was a disciple of St. John and was thrown to the lions in his martyrdom. And this is followed by Alexander, an Eastern bishop, and Marcellinus, who's a priest and a martyr. And there is Peter, who's an exorcist and a friend of Marcellinus. Next is Felicity and Perpetua. Felicity was a young woman who was a servant and was pregnant and was martyred for the faith. Perpetua was a noblewoman of Carthage who, like Felicity, showed great courage in her martyrdom. The last five women that are mentioned in the canon were similarly all martyred for the faith. Agatha was a noble Sicilian woman who was tortured for the faith and died while praying. Lucy, also of Sicilian nobility, was likewise tortured for the faith. Agnes was martyred for the faith around the age of 12. And remember, we just celebrated her memorial just a few days ago on Tuesday. And then Cecilia, who's the patron saint of musicians, who's also martyred for the faith. And the last on that list is Anastasia, who was a martyr and whose feast day is on December 25th. So we don't often hear about her because we often focus on Christmas. But the fact that her feast day is on Christmas, it shows that she was held in high regard among the faithful. And then the Roman canon ends with a doxology, per ipsum et cum ipso et in ipso, through him, with him, and in him. Right? It's through Christ that we go to the Father. It's also with Christ. Right? He doesn't go to the Father alone. He brings his bride, the church. We go with him. And it's in Christ. Remember, he is the vine, we are the branches. And we participate in his own divine life when we're in a state of grace, when sanctifying grace is within us. This is why we do all that we can to remain in a state of grace. And if there is a fall into mortal or grave sin, we want to go to confession as soon as possible to experience that interior peace and freedom, right? That comes from being reconciled to God in the church through Christ's sacrifice. It's in this union, it's this union with Christ that gives all honor and glory to the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Remember, that's what the Mass is about. It's worshiping God, giving him glory. So at the end of the doxology, everyone responds with the great Amen, right? That's what we chant, that's what we sing. So as we now continue with the Mass, we recall those opening words from today's reading from the letter to the Hebrews, that Jesus is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them.